The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com, teenvogue.com, and kidspiritonline.com. Our first article today from theteenmagazine.com. The Importance of Veterans' Mental Health Services and Awareness. This article was written by J.C. Hill on May 30th. In a time where the mental health of society at large often appears to be bleak, we cannot forget about the well-being of some of the most cherished yet vulnerable people among us, our veterans. As a new diverse generation of gutsy, service-minded, and patriotic Americans have courageously chosen to enlist in our nation's military forces, it is vital that we as a society draw attention to the significance of mental health for future generations. But we must also not forget about the many prized Americans who, in prior years, put everything on the line to serve our country. Many, if not most of us, are acquainted with a veteran or an active duty armed forces member to some extent. Whether it be a family member, a close friend, a colleague, or anyone else in your neighborhood or community, veterans are everywhere around us. Now more than ever, it's imperative that we come to recognize the health of veterans as a public responsibility for the betterment of society overall. For that reason, we must work towards ensuring American veterans can access quality health care, including mental health resources, in a timely manner. The statistics. On average, we lose 20 veterans each and every day as a result of suicide. In addition to alarming rates of suicide, roughly 30% of Vietnam veterans account for experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, over the course of their lifetime, and an estimated 20% of veterans who served in Iraq and Afghanistan too report suffering from the disorder. The most frequently reported cases of compromised mental health conditions reported among veterans include PTSD, depression, substance use disorders, and traumatic brain injuries. Various other conditions, such as hearing loss and illnesses caused as a result of toxic exposure, are also evident in veteran communities. Furthermore, while PTSD is arguably the most commonly occurring mental health condition reported among the veteran community, many veterans do not merely experience one mental health condition, but often grapple with a combination of two or more disorders. With this factor taken into consideration, it's vital to evaluate veteran mental health care in a holistic fashion and recognize treatment routes that take into account the intersecting issues at hand. In addition to mental health challenges, many veterans also struggle with the uncertainties of unemployment, loneliness, homelessness, and physical injuries or impairments. These factors are critically important to take into account when evaluating mental health, as mental health often encompasses lingering stresses resulting from other life challenges. After all, veterans often leave their local region in service of the country, but they may understandably fear what their life post-service will look like, which further underscores stress induced by elements of financial instability and potential housing insecurity, among other factors. Reducing stigma. Just like with mental health awareness in general, it's nothing short of vital to work towards reducing the stigma surrounding veterans' mental health care. To do so, we can focus on educating ourselves concerning mental illnesses, substance abuse, disorders, etc., as well as educating others when appropriate. In addition to disseminating factual information surrounding mental health, most importantly of all, we must sympathize with others, serve as an understanding support system, and stay in tune with the impact of our behaviors. Staying connected with the community. In addition to committing to fostering a future generation equipped with growing empathy and awareness concerning mental health, it's also crucial that American veterans, many of which suffer from PTSD, are provided with a sound quality of life after service. Many veterans resort to resources, treatment options, self-care practices, and community bonding as paths to coping and recovering from military trauma. Whether you're a participant in a veterans advocacy organization, or simply a regular civilian, you too can assist in fostering a positive, welcoming, and loving community around you. When conversing with a veteran with PTSD and/or other disorders, just like when discussing any sensitive topic, it's always good to let the veteran assess what they're comfortable discussing, and it's vital that listeners respect those determinations. Speaking of listeners, it's always great to be a good, understanding listener. Even if you share a different background than another person, the respectable art of empathy is applicable in this situation, as the importance of listening respectfully and carefully shines through. Veterans Health Care. With the Federal Veterans Administration, VA, serving as the primary care center many veterans rely on for health care services of various forms, it is therefore critical that the VA is able to aid veterans suffering from mental health complications adequately. The Veterans Health Administration, VHA, often known for its medical centers encompassing the VA, is the largest integrated health care system in the United States. It's responsible for providing care at over 1,300 facilities, including close to 200 VA medical centers and over 1,100 outpatient clinics. Though arguably flawed in certain capacities, VA hospitals have grown in terms of their mental health service awareness in recent years. Moreover, more than 1.5 million out of 5.5 million veterans seen in VA hospitals received a mental health diagnosis in 2016. This finding signals a 31% increase since just 2004. With more awareness of mental health complications coming to be, perhaps one could hope means of treatment to become accessible for more veterans and Americans alike. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. TikTok ban would restrict access to news and advocacy, young people say. This article was written by Fortessa Latifi on April 25th. In a rare show of bipartisanship, the U.S. Senate voted 79-18 on Tuesday to pass a bill which could lead to a national ban of the popular social media app TikTok. The day after the Senate passed the bill, President Joe Biden signed it into law, starting a clock which gives the Beijing-based parent company of TikTok, ByteDance, 9 months to sell the company or face a U.S. ban. Lawmakers have cited security concerns related to the Chinese government possibly accessing data belonging to the approximately 170 million U.S. TikTok users. But for the young people who rely on the app for news, political updates, and entertainment, The potential ban seems misplaced and ridiculous. Maria Arbin, a 16-year-old high school student in Virginia, calls TikTok the chat room space of Gen Z because you can see all these people from different niches. Videos on TikTok have helped her become more politically aware, learn how to style her hair, and choose a makeup routine that flatters her face shape. She's even met some of her best friends through the app. Of all the issues facing Americans, Arbin isn't surprised that TikTok is the one lawmakers were able to come together on to pass legislation, but she is annoyed. "I wish we were tackling so many more issues instead," she says. "There is a homelessness crisis, the drug crisis, the inflation issue, and our representatives are just babbling about TikTok. I think it's the stupidest thing because TikTok is just a drop in the bucket." Arbin, like other young people contacted for this story, wonders if the TikTok ban is an effort to control the information that young people are receiving. "I hate to say it, and it sounds like a conspiracy theory, but I do feel as though the U.S. government is trying to snuff the people and their voice," she says. 2/3 of Americans age 18 to 29 are on TikTok, according to the Pew Research Center. A late 2023 Pew survey found that around 1/3 of Americans in this demographic regularly get their news from the app. Nia Nostos, a 25-year-old military veteran who has been using TikTok for years, doesn't believe the justifications that are being given for the ban, specifically that the platform's parent company, being based in Beijing, poses a national security issue. "I think the Chinese data theft is a smokescreen," says Nostos. TikTok has proven to be a very effective tool in educating and organizing activists, not just when it comes to pro-Palestinian advocacy, but in many ways that counter the narratives that are more comfortable to establishment politicians. Politicians are really just scared that they can't control the narrative anymore. Elise Joshi, 21, the executive director of Gen Z for Change, echoes these concerns. "While Congress has been mulling over a path to a TikTok ban for some time, activists have expressed dismay that lawmakers passed this legislation at the same time as the app is aflame with videos about the experiences of students across the country protesting in support of Palestine." The potential TikTok ban was passed as part of a $95 billion package in military aid to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. "I really believe if one can't garner support from a group, the next course of action for those in power seems to be stifling freedom of speech," Joshi says, pointing to the gap between the support for a ceasefire among many young Americans and the Biden administration's commitment to funding the Israeli military. Some Gen Z voters who spoke to Teen Vogue say they may sit out the upcoming election, while others may choose to cast uncommitted votes as a form of protest against the Biden administration's support for Israel. With only months to go before the 2024 election, Joshi questions the wisdom of signing a potential TikTok ban into law when Biden is sure to be counting on the support of young voters to push him over the finish line to victory, as was the case in 2020. "If you want young people to show up in November, you can't sideline us," Joshi says. "Instead of stifling our freedom of speech, which is what he's doing with the TikTok ban, call for a ceasefire. Align with your party. Align with the Americans that you represent, and we will show up for you in November. If you don't do that, then don't blame me." The New York Times reported that the issue of TikTok's ownership could take months or even years to settle, during which the app would probably continue to function for U.S. consumers. Our next article, From KidSpiritOnline.com, The Strange Change of the School Exchange. This article was written by Max Green on May 2nd. In 2013, I experienced a gigantic change that millions of 10 and 11-year-olds face, transitioning from elementary school to middle school. Before starting middle school, I was really excited and slightly nervous. One of my best friends from elementary school was also going to the school, and I was eager to meet new people and make new friends. However, when we finally got our classes, I realized I did not know anybody who was in my class, which made me more nervous. Overall, I was mostly excited and ready for middle school. When I was nearing the end of fifth grade in June, the staff of MS 447 organized an orientation for the soon-to-be sixth graders. I can guarantee that most of the kids in sixth grade would say that it was fun. I completely agree. We met new people, made some friends, and did an icebreaker in a stress-free situation. There are a few kids I met there who I still talk to. Also, the principal taught us a little bit about MS 447 and what makes it unique from other schools. I really appreciate that the staff at my school worked as hard as they did to make us feel more comfortable. On the first 2 days of middle school, the teachers organized welcome days, a time when students could talk and socialize, make new friends, meet some teachers, and, of course, learn how to get around the school. Although a few people thought that the welcome days were boring, I thought they were pretty fun, definitely better than real school work. The last one was extremely important because after we introduced ourselves to each other, we had to find our way around the building, and that did not end well. A few other kids and I had to find the 8th grade Spanish classroom to talk about a book we were forced to read over the summer. Sadly, we didn't have directions, and it took us about 20 minutes walking around the building until we finally found the place. It was fun, though. I met new people on my way there. Inconveniently, we only had a tour of our building after we got lost. I thought it was very considerate for our teachers to give us a couple of days to ease into sixth grade. I got a tour of the building, but more importantly, I met new people and made new friends. They also reinstated a tradition from before COVID-19, and in November took our grade to Camp Bernie, which is a camp all the way over in New Jersey. It was a real great experience for me and many other kids who went. We were put into cabins with people from other classes, many of whom I didn't know. We were also put into different groups for meals and activities. I participated in a karaoke night, zip line, climbing obstacle, tie-dye, basketball, team building, and just hanging out. At Camp Bernie, I made many friends and became better friends with people I already knew. I really appreciated that the staff took the time to do a fundraiser and organize an overnight trip just to help us make friends. My experience at Camp Bernie definitely made the transition from elementary school to middle school more smooth. I really respect that the administration created so many opportunities to help us fit in and get into the groove of our new school. Although I would have been fine, many kids might have struggled with switching to a new school, a new schedule, and new classes. So everything the teachers did was definitely thoughtful. From organizing an orientation with all sixth graders, to taking us on a trip to Camp Bernie, to hosting welcome days where we got to know our teachers, building, and classmates, the staff at my school really helped make my transition to middle school more fun and stress-free. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Will Trump go to jail? What to know about his conviction in hush money case? This article was written by Fortessa Latifi and Allegra Kirkland on May 30th. Donald Trump was officially convicted on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records on May 30th, cementing his place in the history books as the first ever current or former president to be found guilty of criminal charges. The case related to hush money payments made during the 2016 presidential election in order to keep two women from going public with their claims that they had sex with Trump. Prosecutors alleged that the payments had undermined the 2016 election. According to the New York Times, the presumptive 2024 Republican nominee presidential nominee sat largely expressionless, a glum look on his face, after the jury issued its verdict. His sentencing was scheduled for July 11th, just days before the start of the Republican National Convention, when he will accept the party's nomination. We will break down what the conviction means, what's coming next, and whether this will impact the 2024 election. What were the actual charges? The indictment against Trump detailed specific information about the checks and business records Trump used to compensate his then-fixer and former lawyer Michael Cohen for making hush money payments to Stormy Daniels. A New York jury found that Trump had faked those records to conceal the purpose of the money he provided to Cohen. What comes next? Trump is likely to appeal the verdict, meaning it could be years before the case is formally resolved, according to the Times. Trump has insisted that this and his other criminal trials are a partisan witch hunt carried out by his critics, and the Republican Party has largely stood by the former president. He and President Joe Biden remained locked in a tight race for the White House ahead of the nominating conventions later this summer. Could Trump actually go to jail? It's unlikely. Legal experts say the odds are slim that the former president's criminal charges result in actual jail time. For each count, Trump could either be fined or receive a maximum sentence of up to 4 years in prison. Per CNN, New York caps sentencing for this type of felony at 20 years. As MSNBC notes, Trump has the right to appeal and will likely remain free pending any appeal. Can he still run for president? Yes. A clean criminal record is not among the criteria the Constitution sets for who is eligible to be president, the New York Times reports. How will this affect the 2024 election? Though pundits are busy conjecturing, there's really no way to know how Trump's conviction could affect the 2024 election. Trump has weathered countless scandals before, and polling shows a stark partisan split in attitudes towards his criminal trials. A Quinnipiac University poll from March, cited by ABC News, found that 55% of registered voters said a conviction in the hush money case would make no difference in how they voted in November. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. These Taylor Swift-coded conspiracies about Trump's charges are both silly and eerie. This article was written by Mandy Velez on May 31st. One thing about Taylor Swift fans is that they can sniff out a conspiracy theory anywhere, at least when it comes to the Swiftie metaverse. Swift has admitted that she lays a few Easter eggs in her music and videos as a way to engage with fans. And at this point, Taylor Swift lore is part of the fan package. Some theories center around albums in that they tell a secret story, such as the case with Folklore, and others pick apart single songs, Looking at You, Karma Truthers. Even Swift's newest album, The Tortured Poets Department, is theorized to be songs organized by the five stages of grief. Admittedly, some of these theories are a bit ridiculous, and the latest connection that some ex-users are making between Taylor Swift and former president and now convicted felon Donald Trump's hush money trial verdict would fall in that category. But it's funny, and we enjoy a good meme, so here we are. Here are some of the funniest, kinda silly, but sometimes eerie connections between Taylor Swift and Donald Trump, who had dissed her in recent memory. Trump was found guilty of 34 counts. Taylor Swift is 34. Numbers are big in Swift conspiracy land. We know about 13, her favorite number, and 87, a mention from a song lyric and also boyfriend Travis Kelce's Kansas City Chiefs jersey number. Of course, 89 is a number as well, but we guess 34 can be added to the list. Trump is guilty of more counts than there are TTPD tracks. Coincidence? We think not. The smallest man who ever lived moniker could now apply to Trump. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse called out this connection in an ex post about Trump, saying that Swift wouldn't dare be disloyal to him because he made her so much money. TTPD has a track about Florida, where Trump is from. The state is where Trump lives full-time now, after essentially being exiled from New York post-presidency, and the song is about running away from your problems and going to Florida. Donald Trump played Blank Space during a drive with Melania. How ironic that the man who allegedly stares at the sun instead of in the mirror played Swift's music years before his conviction. Is this what they mean by poetic justice? White-collar crime is a big trope in Swift's songs. Interesting. We're not saying these make sense, but we're not saying they do. And for anyone wondering if this is satire, it is. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.